The story you're about to hear is true, but strange.
Captain Benton, you must do it.
Now, look here.
You'll regret it, Captain, if you don't.
Regret it?
Yes, sir. It'll bring bad luck to the ship.
That's nonsense.
I've seen those things happen before, Captain. We'll be haunted by a ghost.
Strange. True stories of the supernatural. With your narrator, famous author, lecturer, and expert on strange and weird events, Walter Gibson.
Thank you, Charles Woods. My true and strange story tonight concerns a ship, the Great Eastern, that was built in England and launched in the year 1858. The Great Eastern was 693 feet long, with a displacement of 22,500 tons. She had two sets of steam engines, side paddles, and a propeller. She also had six masts so that she could carry sail as well. In order to make her the best ship of the day, she had watertight compartments and a double hull. She would be able to accommodate 4,000 passengers, and the owners hoped that she would break all records from Liverpool to New York. The construction job required 2,000 workmen, and it was estimated that the Great Eastern would need 3 million rivets.
Captain Benton! Captain Benton!
What is it, Keith?
I'd like a word with you, sir.
You speak up, man.
Well, a friend of mine is working on the ship, a riveter.
There are 2,000 men working on this ship.
Well, yes, sir, but this man Andrews is a friend of mine.
Well, what of it?
What's a... He didn't come home last night.
So what?
His wife is worried that something may have happened to him.
Did she call up the hospital?
Yes, but he's not there.
Well, what do you think happened to him?
Well, sir, I think he fell in between the hulls and they sealed him up.
I don't believe
it. Now, please, Captain, you must do something.
Do what?
Find him.
Where?
Between the hulls.
Do you know where he fell in?
Why... No, sir.
Well, then, what do you expect me to do? Rip open the hulls from stem to stern because you think he fell in?
Oh, Captain Patton, you'd better do it.
Now, look here.
Or you'll regret it.
Regret it?
Yes, sir. It'll bring bad luck to the ship.
That's nonsense.
Oh, I've seen these things happen before, Captain. We'll be haunted by a ghost.
Captain Patton refused to listen to his engineer, Keach. The construction went ahead, and in due time, with great fanfare, the Great Eastern set out on its maiden voyage across the Atlantic, the passengers on deck waving goodbye to their friends on the pier. The weather was pleasant, and the ship made excellent progress the first day. The captain beamed as he made the entry in the log. If they continued at that rate, they would surely make a record run to New York. On the third day out, the captain was having tea with his first mate, Howard Morley. They listened to the rhythmic sound of the ship's engines.
Ah, hear that, Morley?
Yes, sir. Keach is doing a fine job.
He has those engines purring like kittens.
We won't have to use sail on this trip at all.
No, sir.
This will be an all-steam voyage.
Absolutely.
You know, Captain,
what's happened?
I don't know, sir.
Come on, we'll find out. Keith!
I don't see him anywhere.
He must be around here.
Look, in that corner, Captain.
He's been tied up. Keith, what happened?
We must get him to the ship's doctor. He's unconscious.
While the captain stood by, the ship's doctor took care of Keach. The laceration on his scalp showed where he had been struck down. The captain waited impatiently for Keach to regain consciousness. Finally, the doctor gave him permission to speak to the engineer.
Feeling better, Keech?
Oh, yes, sir.
What happened?
He sneaked up behind me and struck me.
Who?
Andrews.
The man you thought was sealed in between the hulls?
Yes, sir, that was him.
And then he tied you up?
Yes, sir.
What caused the engines to stop?
Well, he must have sabotaged them.
So, we not only have a stowaway aboard, but a crazy stowaway. I'll have this ship searched from stem to stern, and when I find him, I'll put him in irons.
The ship was searched through every nook and corner where a stowaway could possibly hide, but there was no sign of Andrews. The captain delegated four men of the crew to keep on searching. Andrews must be found. Then, when Keech was able to stand on his feet again, the captain went down within to the engine room. Keech examined each engine carefully.
Well, Keech?
Those beautiful engines. Those beautiful engines.
Is there much damage?
Ruined, Captain. That's all ruined.
Nonsense. You've got to repair them.
That's impossible, Captain.
You're the engineer. It's your business to repair them.
Now, Andrews did a thorough job, Captain. It would take a whole month in Liverpool to fix these engines.
You're sure?
Absolutely, Captain. These engines are junk now. Just junk.
This is a fine thing to happen on a maiden voyage.
I can't tell you how bad I feel, Captain.
Well, never mind the condolences. We'll have to finish this voyage with sail.
And so the captain gave the order to hoist the sails. He used all six masts, hoping to make up for the time lost when the engine failed. For hours, he stood on the bridge, guiding the ship and swearing under his breath at Andrews, the stowaway, who seemed to defy all searches. The Great Eastern made fair progress under sail, but it was far behind the expected schedule. Finally, they were approaching New York. Howard Morley, the first mate, came on the bridge.
Well, I've come to relieve you, Captain.
I'm not tired, Morley.
You don't realize how many hours you've been up here.
Those blasted engines.
And let me take over, Captain.
No. No, go away.
Oh, you'll wind up in sick bay.
Maybe you're right. I can't seem to focus my eyes.
Sure. A rest would do you good, Captain.
All right, Morley. Take over.
Yes, sir.
I'll lie down for a while. If you need me, don't hesitate to call.
I will, sir. Have a good rest.
For 3 hours, Morley stayed at the wheel. According to the chart, they would soon be reaching Montauk Point, and then New York, and the voyage would be over. Not the happy voyage they had anticipated across the Atlantic by steam. Still, it was a good thing the ship did have sails, or they would be floundering in the middle of the ocean. As these thoughts raced through Morley's mind, the door opened.
Oh, you're back so soon, Captain.
I'm not the captain.
What? You know the orders. The crew's not permitted on the bridge.
I'm not a member of the crew.
Well, then who are you?
I'm Andrews.
Andrews? You're the man who sabotaged our engines.
That's me.
I'll have you put in irons.
Not a chance, sir.
What are you doing here?
I'm taking over the ship.
Are you mad?
Let go of that wheel. I'm sorry I had to help you, sir. But you did not do what I asked. Now, I'll bring the ship in.
Andrews steered the ship off the course, and then it struck an uncharted reef that tore an 80-foot hole in the ship's side. For a while, there was panic among the passengers until the captain came on deck and took charge. When the passengers were quieted, the captain went up on the bridge.
Morley, What happened? Did you fall asleep at the wheel?
No. Get up, man, get up.
My head.
You fell?
No. He struck me with a hammer.
Who struck you? Speak up.
Miss Andrews.
The stowaway?
He wanted to take the wheel and I fought him.
So, he did this to my ship.
Where are we, Captain?
Off New York. We'll make it. No thanks to Andrews.
We've got to find him.
He may have gotten away in all the confusion.
Well, then we'd have the police go after him.
And when we catch him, he'll hang for this.
Yes, sir. And I'd like to pull the rope.
Although they alerted the police and Keach gave them a description of Andrews, the man was not found. The hull was repaired, and the Great Eastern had a long but checkered career, finally being used to lay the Atlantic cable. At last, she was sold to a salvage company for junk, and they immediately started tearing the ship apart.
Hello, Keach.
Hello, Captain Patton. What brings you here?
I guess I came for the wake, just as you did.
Yes, it was a fine ship.
An excellent ship.
I could have broken records with her.
If it weren't for that stowaway, Andrews.
You know, I can't understand it, Captain. It was always such a quiet ship.
It seems he went berserk, and he had to pick my ship for it.
And I'll feel sorry for him when he gets caught.
Something's happened there. Let's run over.
Yes, sir.
Do you see anything, Keith?
They've separated the two hulls.
What of it?
Well, there's a skeleton in between. It must be Andrews, sir. Remember I told you that he might have fallen between the two hulls and been sealed up?
I can't understand it.
Understand what, Captain?
If Andrews has been dead since the ship was built, then who did all the damage?
His ghost, sir. His ghost.
But it happens to be true. It can be found in the records of the company that built the Great Eastern. They've always spoken of it as the ghost who took revenge on a ship. A story true, but strange.
Tune in at this same time for Walter Gibson, your expert on the supernatural. Stories of ghosts, of spirits, werewolves, and voodoo. And each story you hear is true, but strange. Strange, with Walter Gibson as your expert, was directed by Joe Graham. In the cast were Ian Martin and Robert Dryden. This is Charles Wood speaking. Strange is an ABC presentation and came from New York.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.